evening and Happy New Year to everyone. My name is Jeremy Morse, and I'd like to officially welcome you all to tonight's
More Success Team B2B conference call. We do this call the very first Monday of every month to shed light and to really focus and feature the B2B aspect of your Legal Shield businesses. And I don't know of a better way to kick off the new year than to have the trainer and speaker that we have with you guys tonight. In my opinion, right now, the number one B2B trainer in all of Legal Shield, as far as I'm concerned. And so let's get things kicked right off by going to Duran, Oklahoma, the Platinum Executive Director, Millionaire Club member, six-figure income earner. But most importantly, he's my dad, and that's Mr. Randy Moore. Dad, are you there?
I can. I am. Jeremy, can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear.
All right. Well, I'm very excited about tonight's guest speaker and trainer. If you were excited about the first call, I know you'll be excited about this second call. We had so many great things happening within the team, and our recruiting is up, our membership sales are up, just everything is up and to the right, and that is a great thing. But to give him a proper introduction, I'm going to go back to Ada, Oklahoma. Of course, he's a $500,000 ring earner, a Platinum 5 Executive Director, original Millionaire Club member, accolade after accolade, the new Executive Vice President of Legal Shield, and that is none other than my dad, and that is Mr. Ken Moore. Mr. Moore, are you on?
Yes, sir, Randy. What exciting times. I'll tell you what, we've been on cloud nine. I'll tell you, there's so much excitement going on, and I think it's just the beginning, Randy. It's just the beginning. This next speaker, or trainer, I should say, is a man of knowledge and accomplishments, but I'll tell you what, he's the number one producer on the More Success Team. It may take me half the call just to tell his accolades, so I'll tell a few. He's a $100,000 ring earner, Millionaire Club member, Platinum 3 Executive Director, Platinum Jacket recipient, Senior Marketing Vice President of Alabama since 2002, Small Business Trainer of Alabama since 2003. He's appointed Vice President for Alabama and Mississippi on May the 1st, 2015. Over 15,000 personal memberships, opened over 325 groups, Co-Trainer of the Year in 2005, number one in membership sales in Alabama for 14 straight years, number one in small business sales in Alabama for 14 years. He's in the top 20 company for personal membership sales 10 consecutive years from 2004 to 2013. He's number four in 2004, and he finished number five in 2015. And he may have finished more. This was a little before the end of the month, so he might be even better than that. Performance Club for 162 months, top 20 in company Performance Club points, number one in Alabama in Performance Club, going to train tonight on goals, roles, and souls, Mr. Jimmy Paris.
Thank you, Ken. I'm exhausted for you, man.
I run out of breath, Jimmy. If I said any more, we'd have the call over with.
I know it. Well, I appreciate the honor, and I don't take it lightly to be able, for about 4 years now, to be able to kick off the call, the first call of the year. Had the distinct honor of being able to do that with Mr. Stone Cipher, God rest his soul, and then now with Mr. Jeff Bell. It's a pleasure indeed. And again, belated one day. I know I congratulated you when we talked last week, but on your 60th wedding anniversary. But I know it's not always been good. I know you've said a lot of good things about it, but we had to get Charlene's opinion, and she told me that you've given her a lot of sound advice. 99% sound, 1% advice. But I'll just leave
appreciate
that.
Appreciate your help, Jimmy. I do. What an honor to have you on the call.
Yeah, that's right. But I want to touch base on three things. When I was thinking about the call several weeks ago, this just kind of was given to me, so I'll say it was providential. And goals, roles, and souls. And I'm not going to preach. I know my background's a Baptist minister, for those that don't know me here, and I'm not going to sing, and I'm not going to close with a poem. So this is not a sermon. My desire tonight is to try to lay out what hopefully could be for those on the call or they're looking to recruit people to the B2B side of the business, a blueprint for B2B success this year. And you might find a little bit out of each of these. You might find just one nugget out of one of these three headings. But I'm going to try to focus a little bit on goals, not much, then a little bit longer on roles, and then most of my time on the souls part. Because talking about goals, you know, we talk a lot about people talk about resolutions. They talk about what they're going to do for the year. But, you know, according to details.com, only 45% of Americans make New Year's resolutions, and 10% of those fully commit or are successful at keeping them. One out of those three ditch their vows by the end of January, including being too busy or not committed to the goals in the first place. So my question to those on the line tonight is not so much about resolutions and goals, but what are you planning to do with this new year? You know, whatever you set your heart on, folks, is going to determine how you spend your time and your energy. And I think we all realize it takes just as much effort to live an unfulfilled life as a rewarding one. For scientists tell us that the human brain has got 2 million megabytes of capacity, which means we've all got a lot of room for growth. But one of the most important things you can do this year, if it's not on your goal list, is to develop your mind. Proverbs tells us in the 29th chapter, if there is no vision, in other words, if there is no sense of direction, then the people perish. And for those that might feel like 2015 dealt you a bad deck, dissatisfaction doesn't come from the absence of things. It comes from the absence of direction. And too many of us, I think sometimes, Ken and Randy and Jeremy and those on the call, just exist because we've settled for less than what God intended for us to settle for. And our quality of life's got to be determined by your vision and the effort that you're willing to put into fulfilling it. So hopefully you can stop, make a written list of the areas where you'd like to grow this year, and tackle three or four of the most important ones. And if we had time, we could go into all the things about SMART goals, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound. And a lot of you have heard those for years, and I don't want to get into the details of that, but just, you know, from a nugget. I mean, Cheryl Ann DeGatta, congratulations to Cheryl Ann for hitting platinum. But one of the things she said at the beginning of the call the last hour was, you know, she had a dream and she dreamed big. And that's great, and you need to have a dream. But if a goal that's just not written down, is that's all it is a dream. So you've got to write those things down. But you also need to be bite-sized in your goals. You know, break those bigger goals down to smaller parts, little pieces that you can accomplish one at a time. And then also remember to celebrate. You know, Cheryl also mentioned, you know, it's not a sprint but a marathon. And you got to learn how to celebrate as you achieve certain goalposts along the way. Some goals are going to be easy goals to attain. Some are going to be stretch goals. But whatever they are, get those down on paper and get an accountability partner to help you with that. And that's going to help you from the standpoint of starting the year off on the right way, determining what your vision is. And then don't get discouraged if the goals you're working on don't cooperate with you, because nothing great is ever created suddenly. It's a process. Everybody's got to keep plugging away. Some days you're going to take two steps forward and three steps backward, but don't give up. Because nothing you try, unless you try something beyond what you've already mastered, you know, you're not going to grow. So I think everybody wants to grow. The company has established and put out some wonderful things for us to get excited about in the first quarter. But let's not get so excited that we get all those things in front of us and be the jack of all trades and master of none and don't get anything done on that. So from the goal standpoint, I think that's pretty self-explanatory. As far as the roles are concerned, what is a role? It's a position. It is a responsibility. It's a duty. It's expected behavior patterns. And I want to touch on three specific questions to ask each one on the call tonight about your role. What role are you playing within Legal Shield? What role are you playing within B2B? And the first question I want to ask you is, are you a pessimist or are you an optimist about your business? Winston Churchill defined this to me with the best definition I ever heard when he said, a pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, while an optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. Because we're going to have a lot of issues that we deal with in the B2B side of the business. And you can either look at that from a negative or pessimistic standpoint and realize that you know, you're going to have problems there, or you can look at those as opportunities. The second part of the roles that I want to touch base with you on, as far as responsibility, duty, what kind of behavior pattern are you, is, are you a shot taker? And what do I mean by being a shot taker? Well, you know, I live and breathe college football down here, and I'm excited to say, or I guess I'm not going to be excited to say, but I will not be on the More Team call next Monday night. I'm going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm going to be cheering my team to hopefully the national championship. But I'm a college football fan. I like college sports. And being in the South, I don't play, never have played, and don't follow a lot of hockey. But one of my workout partners does, and he's a big New York Rangers fan. And I was kind of following the playoffs this past spring when the New York Rangers were playing the Washington Capitals, and happened to hear the announcer say, with 17 minutes left in the third period, the score tied at one apiece here, I heard him say, 61 shots, two in, and I started listening. And I kept listening, and finally at the end of the game, found out that the Rangers had overcome a two-shot deficit and scored, but they took 72 attempts to score the three goals they got in that particular game. 72 attempts to successfully achieve three positive outputs. Now, for those of us in sales, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because maybe not for you, because many of you on the call tonight may have given up or quit long before you made 72 attempts at anything related to B2B, or you didn't have anything to show for them. So I don't know what your sales figures are like, but I bet you're not taking enough shots. I know to get one of my goals I had that I set out, and I've usually tried to get my goals to Ken Moore at the beginning of each year so he would kind of know what I'm looking for. But I'd set out a goal that I wanted to hit 1,000 sales this year. You know, I would like to hit platinum a few times in personal sales, wanted to recruit some, and I wanted to top 15,000 personal sales. And it got toward the end of the year, and didn't have those, but I was fortunate in December to be able to get platinum in personal sales, 1,000 for the year, and hit top that 15,000 mark. So, but I had to do it in bite-sized chunks, and it took a lot of rejection. It took a lot of negativity. Actually spent almost 7 weeks out of the country with my wife, either vacationing or with part of her book career where she's traveling the globe with this book she's written in mathematics professional development. And we got more time we've got to go out this year, but I have a great team that worked my groups for me, and it's exciting to know that I can. But we have a lot of rejection. So are you doing that? Have you taken the shots it takes? And then the third thing from the role standpoint is are you egocentric or customer-centric? Are you egocentric or customer-centric? And I want to tell you a story as I lead into three brief analogies on that question to ask you for your role. And the story is this. A young couple moved into a new neighborhood. One morning after they had moved in, they were eating breakfast, and the young woman in that couple was looking out the window and saw her neighbor hanging the wash. She made a comment to her husband, said, "That laundry's not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Maybe she needs better laundry soap." Her husband kind of listened to her but didn't say anything. And every time the neighbor would hang her wash out to dry, the young woman would make the same comments. About a month later, the woman was surprised to see a very nice, clean wash on the line and said to her husband, "Look, she's learned how to wash correctly. I wonder who taught her how to do this." The husband looked at her and said, "I got up early this morning and I cleaned our windows." That's how it is with life, folks. What we see when watching other people depends on the purity of the window through which we look. So think about what window you're looking out, and are you focused on yourself or are you focused on your customers? One aspect of that relates to our customers. You've got to look to our customers, especially in the B2B arena, but whatever aspect of Legal Shield you're in, as your customers are annuities. And sometimes I know we've gone through tough economy, and some kind of salespeople I know I've talked to have gotten a little aggressive in sales. They're not asked to come back in their accounts. They're trying to fatten the wallets, a little premature. But you got to be the exception. When I talk about souls in just a few minutes, you're going to talk about one of the things that I try to do is I want to try to do things the right way. I want to try to do things the way Legal Shield trains us to do. But I also want to stick out and be the exception by seeing new customers as the potential annuity they truly represent. A lot of us can sell to one person, but it takes some skill and a good product, which we certainly have in Legal Shield, to sell a second time to the same person or the same company, and real talent to pull it off again. So if you really want your future to change, and I'm now seeing that in real-life residual income, and I know Yvette Mayo is, I know the Moore family and Linda Bowden, a lot of the others on this call that I heard are seeing that, start looking at your customers as annuities and just think value, think lifetime, and then think lifetime value. But also, I used to hear all the time growing up, you know, that person's not very good. He treats him like a dog. He treats her like a dog. I always thought that was negative. And then I read something recently that told me that's not necessarily the case, because maybe we need to treat our customers like dogs. I know the dog I have right now, Sam, is probably the most wonderful animal we've ever had in our family. You know, and when we ever lose him, I may cry more over that than I do with some of my loved ones that may have gone on. But look at a few aspects, and I'm going to use dogs because that's what I'm close to. But what does a dog owner do? An owner speaks to their dogs regularly and also in an endearing language. Think of that as you communicate with your customers every chance you get. Owners touch their dogs at every opportunity. We can think of this as meeting with and speaking to our customers on a regular basis. Owners appreciate the companionship of their dogs. We can think of this as knowing and realizing that our customer is our competitor's prospect. And it's been said that a dog is man's best friend. Likewise, a customer is a business owner's best friend. Fourth, owners reward their dogs for good behavior. We can think of this as thanking our customers for being our customers. Owners don't leave their dogs alone for long. We can think of this as never taking our customers for granted. And finally, owners forgive their dogs when they goof up. And we could think of this as understanding our customers' human frailties. So when you think of your pets, whether it's a dog, whether it's a cat, guinea pig, rabbit, some other furry animal, horse, think about how you treat your animals and think about treating your customers that well. And then finally, under the subject of roles, we'll talk about two amazing events that happened in the sports world this past year as we think back on this past year. One relates to a horse. Many of you know that follow horse racing, American Pharoah. Overcame incredible odds early in the year, won the Triple Crown, first time it's happened in 37 years. But on August 30th in Saratoga, New York, after he had done that, he lost a race. So even though he was the best, did something a horse had not done in 37 years, can't win them all. And then a golfer came to the forefront named Jordan Spieth. Came out of nowhere, won the Masters at age 22, and before he turned 23 in late July, he turned around and won the U.S. Open. Amazing accomplishment. And then all of a sudden, in late August, he goes to a golf tournament in Edison, New Jersey, and didn't even make it past Friday. He misses the cut. Left the clubhouse without fanfare, and even in the golf world, you can't win them all. What does this have to do with your business? Our business requires a lot of time and money to succeed. There aren't any shortcuts. A lot of accolades Mr. Moore called out tonight. I know Yvette Mayo was Trainer of the Year three times, but she would be the first to tell you that there have been a lot of failures along the way. We're going to have failures, folks. It's going to happen to us in this business. The pain and early going frustration you're going to experience when that happens is you want to try to polish your act, but you can't ever completely put the possibility of failure behind you. You got to look at your business as like a bell curve. You're going to have ups. You're going to have downs. Harold Pinson, who's a big baseball fan, might refer to that as a baseball slump. It happens to everybody, and it's going to happen to you. So this year, as you're dealing with those slumps, just know as the sun's going to rise the next morning, you're going to be able to bounce out of that, and you're going to be able to move forward. And then the last part of the call I want to talk about after discussing goals, roles, is souls. Now, what do I have to do with that? Well, yeah, it rhymes with the first two, but what am I talking about when I mention that? I'm talking about relationships. I'm talking about building relationships. That's the key to your blueprint for B2B success this next year. And I want to touch on two aspects of that, and I want to give you one specific thing that if you don't get anything tangible out of this call tonight, you'll get from these two things right here. Two parts of this, and then I'm going to be through. And one of these is basically look at seven very strong tips on how to network. Seven strong tips on how to network in your business. And then I want to talk to you about how Jimmy Fallon is growing my business. And I'll just leave it at that right now. But building relationships. Number one, on the networking side. Now, since I got out of a high school, I've been around for 46 years. And I feel like I've been networking for 46 years. There are a few things that I've been able to do, tweaked my networking, that I want to kind of pass along to you guys tonight. Hopefully you can take and do something with that as well, that I've learned how to continue to leverage my networking events. So it doesn't matter whether you're working large groups, small groups, you're a team builder, you're trying to recruit someone to B2B, jot these down. Number one, know how to give your 60-second commercial in 30 seconds. Know how to give your 60-second commercial in 30 seconds. What's that goal of the 60-second commercial? It's not to tell that networking group about everything that you do. Your objective is just to convey your most important value proposition about Legal Shield, as well as identify your target prospects for referrals. The reason for knowing how to give your commercial in 30 seconds is simply because you don't know how much time you're going to have. Sometimes you may get 60 seconds, sometimes 45, sometimes 30. And at networking events, less is always more. Everybody hates the person who goes on and on way past their or his or her allotted time. So when you're able to convey your value proposition in 30 seconds, you appear incredibly professional to your audience, and that makes you more referable. So to be successful with that commercial, write it out, practice it with a countdown timer. Your goal is to internalize your value proposition. So when it's internalized, it doesn't sound like you've memorized it. It'll come across as genuine, someone who knows exactly what he or she does and how you can help your prospects. And it's incredibly valuable whenever anybody asks what you do. You'll never again have to think about how you answer that. So that number one thing, get that 60-second commercial down to 30 seconds. Number two, consistency over time is the key. Consistency over time is the key. Some people will show up at networking events I've been in over the years two or three times, and they never go back. I just met a new attendee at one of my groups, and he was talking about how little business he got out of that event. His goal in coming to the events was to sell his product to the other attendees instead of building relationships with them. If you want to get referred into one's clients, I got to believe that you can actually deliver what you promise. And unless I've gotten to know you, it's highly unlikely I'm going to trust you enough with my clients. So if you keep showing up, providing value to the other attendees, you will get business over time. Tip number three, get there early and leave late. Get there early and leave late. A large part of networking success, folks, is just meeting the other attendees and just getting to know them. You can't do it if you get to the event 5 minutes before it starts and then run out the door as soon as it's over. By getting there early, you're there to help greet attendees as they arrive, gives you an opportunity to decide who you want to get to meet and talk with after the meeting. And once the meeting ends, your goal is to talk to one or two individuals, deepen that relationship, and schedule one-on-one time, which is the fourth tip, schedule one-on-one meetings. And here's a confession I've got to make. At one time, I was very resistant to scheduling time to meet with people who obviously couldn't use my product or service. They didn't have any need for Legal Shield. They were not a business owner. They were not a decision maker. They were working with individuals, and it just wasn't somebody that could help me. And then one of my friends explained that the one-on-ones were about getting to know what the other person and who a good prospect would be for that person and help them understand the same thing about you. It's not whether about them being a good prospect for you. For one-on-one meetings, even with a solo house painter, can be incredibly valuable. That person may have just done a job for the president of a company with 50 employees, have a great relationship with that individual with whom you've been trying to get an appointment. So more importantly, you never know what can come out of a one-on-one. Number five, send an email out to everybody you meet. Send an email out to everybody you meet. I created a template email. I'm going to read it to you in just a second that I use after networking events. You know, just enter the email. Email address, click send, and it goes off. And it's very simple, and I'll just use it as if I were sending it to Randy Moore. Hey, Randy, it was great meeting you this morning at the chamber meeting. I look forward to getting to know you better over time. My goal is to reach out to you soon and schedule time for us to get together for lunch, breakfast, or just a cup of coffee. I'd love to learn more about your find out what possible you might be. Jimmy, that's it. Four or five sentences, but it reaches out. And the key thing is you've got to follow up with those people and schedule time to get together. Number six, provide value outside our Legal Shield products and services. Number six, provide value outside our Legal Shield products and services. I do lunch and learns on ID theft. I belong to some HR committees. I'm an ambassador in chamber groups. I want to provide value, and as a result of this value, I'll get clients for my products and services because I believe it's a universal law, folks, that whatever you give to the universe is going to come back to you tenfold. And the last tip on networking, it's about quality, not quantity. It's about quality, not quantity. I see a lot of attendees from these meetings who try to collect as many business cards as they can, and they equate that to a successful networking event. You know, the one with the most cards wins. For me, a successful networking event is one where I leave with 3 to 5 cards of people with whom I can build a relationship. There's just so many hours in a day now that I'm trying to do everything I do and my life and my wife's career and being a father of 4 and a grandfather of 6 and just found out a 7th one's coming. Guess what? Right during the Oklahoma City Convention, so we're praying that doesn't happen. But there are just so many hours a day to focus on people where there may be synergy, where there may be an opportunity to build a relationship. So I'm starting to build relationships with people from these events. And with some of them, I just like the people. I just want to kind of get to know them. So hopefully from some of this, it allows you to leverage networking events as well. And then to close out, you know, I'll be brief, may go a couple minutes over, but I want to tell you how Jimmy Fallon is growing my business. Now, I was a big Jay Leno fan, and I first was not real okay about Jimmy Fallon taking that, but I've kind of warmed up to Jimmy Fallon, who's, for those that don't watch late-night TV, he hosts The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon on NBC, and one of my favorite comedy bits he does is his Friday Night Thank You Note segment. I think it's hilarious and witty. I love his musical interaction with James and the band and his co-host, his comedy gold. But what I like most is he handwrites each note one by one. Now, he has a joke tied to it. He's not really writing, but it's the principle there. And you think about the art of the handwritten thank you note. You can use it for everything from prospecting to initial appointments to short, things, thanking people after the sale, appreciation, everything in between. But the note I write is not very complicated. In fact, it's actually very basic and straightforward, as you'll see in just a second. But it's not really what I write in the note that matters. What matters and allows me to book the appointment after essentially maybe sometimes being hung up on is that I'm literally taking the time to write it out, address the envelope, put a stamp on it, and snail mail it. Then I'm not taking the easy and lazy road using emails. Now, I'm not criticizing you if that's what you do, but I truly believe there's an art and a science to every word within my thank you note, so I've broken it down in the hope that this makes sense. So if I'm sending this note to Ken Moore trying to get an appointment with him, this would be what I would say. Ken, I know you're very busy, so I wanted to take a moment to personally thank you for taking my call this morning. Although we were not able to nail down a date where I could steal 17 minutes of your time to share with you how our identity theft mitigation platforms can improve your bottom line at no direct cost to your company, I am hopeful to earn that opportunity in the near future. Our meeting, of course, will be under no obligation on your part. I promise to follow up with you this Friday, January the 8th at 2:10 p.m. Please expect and accept my call. Thanking you in advance, Jimmy Parrish. Then I put my cell phone number there. Now, I know what you're thinking. It sounds long, but it's only five sentences. But I encourage you to use it because there's a reason why I do that. You know, I address Ken by his first name. I never address a prospect as Mr. and Mrs. because to me it's not personable, and I'm likely to lose their attention immediately. Rather, always start the note using the first name. I say, I thank you for taking my call this morning. I always handwrite my note the same day as I speak to my prospect. So if I speak to him in the morning, I'm going to say in the morning. If I talk to him in the afternoon, I'm going to mention that instead. The key is to subliminally jog their memory from our initial brief conversation. Now, why would I say 17 minutes? Everybody asks for 15 or 20 minutes. To differentiate myself, I always ask for 11, 13, or 17 minutes, depending on how the call went. Are they a type A personality? Do you need to do 11? Will they do 17? But I use my best judgment because I never ask for more than 17 minutes, and I always use a random, unique, and odd number that you wouldn't hear from past sales. They wouldn't have heard from past sales professionals calling them about other services. I say, I want to share with you in detail how our identity theft mitigation platforms can improve your bottom line at no direct cost. Now, why do I do that? Because I want to give a brief one-liner to remind them what it is I do. And I've just found in 16 and a half years of doing this that getting me in the door now is more about identity theft than it is legal, not to belittle the legal plan because I focus on the legal when I get in the door. But I use identity theft to get in the door. And I always say I would like to share with you, never show, because children are taught to share with others, and share is a soft and a subtle word. I talk about being under no obligation because everybody loves something that requires no obligation. I said in there, I promise to follow up with you this Friday, January the 8th at 2:10 p.m. How many salespeople live up to their promises? It's crucial that you contact them at the exact date and time that you promise, or you'll instantly lose all credibility that you're working so hard to earn. So never promise a stereotypical on the hour, such as 2 o'clock, 2:30. Rather, to stand out, choose a random, unique, and odd time instead. This will also help you with follow-up. When their gatekeeper says, is he or she expecting your call, you can say yes, because that's what you put in your note. Expect and accept my call. Remember that part? Thanking you in advance, Jimmy Parrish, 205, blah, blah, blah. So I put a finish with a simple thank you note and my name and cell phone number to give the personal touch. I might also put a business card in there, and a lot of times, for those of you who know me and heard me train before, you know I have the world's smallest complaint form, and I stick that in there because it helps me stand out from somebody else. If I'm following back and with them, as I said I would do at 2:10 p.m. this Friday, and I get their voicemail, I always state, as promised, I'm following up, as I said I would. Be sure to state the date and time you're calling, which should be identical to the date and time I wrote in the note. It's vital in establishing trust and living up to promises, because after you leave those, do it the same way. And what can happen, as I've found over the years, is that the prospect's going to pick up that call because they're impressed with my professional persistence and how I always honor when I promise to do it. When I send it out, don't ever underestimate the notes envelope. I handwrite that as well. Be sure to use a real thank you note envelope, not a standard window or letter envelope. You want your note to be noticed. To get to the prospect, and on the outside of the envelope, I boldly write in capital letters, personal and confidential. underneath the return address at the left of their name and address. You should have enough space to write it on a digital slant. I always underline that to give more attention to it. And I put my name on the return address, but I don't put Legal Shield, because the last thing I want is the gatekeeper to open it. So I put personal and confidential, and without the company name, typically that gets to my recipient, since they wouldn't want to open something that was personal. And they could even, you know, as far as they know, it could be even something positive or negatively about the customer. And then finally, the stamp matters. I don't like getting metered things. I know it's not personal when I get mail like that. So help your note get noticed further by using a commemorative or unique postage stamp of some type, not just the traditional American flag forever stamp. But, you know, if you just had the call of all calls and you really want to ensure that your note is received, I've done this before, I FedEx my note to my prospect. And I handwrite the note and envelope. It cost me some money to do it, but if it was the, you know, the mother load of all calls and I overnight it, I don't know about you, but I think you, me, and everybody, including the prospect, would love to get a personal FedEx. So the point I'm trying to make is to differentiate yourself, ladies and gentlemen, by writing the note just as I've described. It'll ensure not only to improve your appointment setting ratios a few points each time, but you always realize nothing is important, nothing is 100%, but being professional, persistent in your follow-up, gather the most attention there, and remember, whether it's your goals that we've talked about tonight, the roles that you play in the B2B arena with Legal Shield, or the relationships you build by networking and doing a personal thank you note, hopefully you'll see the best 2016 you've ever had in this business. So with that, Mr. Moore, I'll turn it back over to you.
Jimmy, as usual, what an outstanding job. No wonder you're such a great trainer. You're so articulate. You state things simple, but you keep it business-like. We appreciate your enthusiasm. We appreciate your just the way you handle yourself. So thank you very much, Jimmy, and I'll turn it back to Randy.
Well, I don't really have anything else, Mr. Moore, except for I do want to thank Mr. Parrish for kicking off 2016 with a bang. We always save the best for first, and I believe we've hit the nail on the head tonight. So thank you, Mr. Parrish. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're wanting to hear Mr. Parrish in person, of course, April the 7th through the 9th is our More Success Team retreat in Ada. He will definitely be on the agenda, and he does an outstanding job. You'll definitely want to hear from Mr. Parrish. And, Jimmy, I just want to say one thing. I guess we dropped the ball. You didn't. We should have been out there in Arizona with you. We just didn't win, and you did. So congratulations to you this year.
Well, thanks so much. And, you know, it's not over till it's over, and we've still got a shot. But Oklahoma had an amazing year, and I know that there'll be good things in store. We played the right team at the right time. We'll see what happens next Monday night.
Well, congratulations not only for that, but, of course, your business and the way you do your business in Legal Shield. Appreciate you being on the team and appreciate your leadership. Back to you,
Thank
Mr.
Thank you,
Moore.
Gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you again, Jimmy. We appreciate it very much. Well, Randy, we had two great, wonderful calls. We've already announced our contest and everything. We'll be going over it again next week. Anybody wants further information, of course, they can contact us. But let's go out there and make this the best year we've ever had. See how many people we cannot sell, but see how many people that we can help solve their problems and help them have a better life, which will enrich our lives and keep putting God first, our family second, and Legal Shield third. Ladies and gentlemen, we love you. We appreciate you. Happy New Year all over again. God bless you and good night.
Good night, everyone.